In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every day in our morning prayers, we call upon the Holy Spirit to come and abide in us. It is the beginning of the morning prayers. And at the beginning of the Divine Liturgy, we call upon the Holy Spirit to descend upon us. Except that, during one time of the year between Pascha and today, the celebration of Pentecost, we wait. We wait to say that prayer. Now, is it that we're going to pretend that the Holy Spirit is not with us, the Holy Spirit is not in us, the Holy Spirit is not in the gathering of the church? We're kind of making a kind of a play out of it. Well, we don't say the prayer. Don't say the prayer yet because the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. That's not what we're doing. That's a worldly way of looking at what we're doing in our services. The Holy Spirit is in the church. The Holy Spirit is in the gathering of the people of God. The Holy Spirit is in every true Christian, guiding us and comforting us. But we want to, as we did on Pascha, when we participated in the resurrection, having prepared by great Lent, spiritual effort, Holy Week, we came to Pascha, and we were able to participate in the resurrection of Christ in body and spirit. And during the time between Pascha and Pentecost, we wait to say the prayer, even though the prayer has been fulfilled long ago and every day. We wait to say the prayer so that we can fall down on our knees along with the holy apostles, the Theotokos, the disciples of Christ, and join our waiting upon the Holy Spirit to their waiting upon the Holy Spirit. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit to descend for the first time, the accomplishment of all of the work that Jesus Christ had done, having become incarnate, one of us, the second person of the Holy Trinity came into the world in order to do a great work on our behalf, in order to reunite us to God so that we could live our lives not from our own understanding in the light of our own mind, interpreting things for ourselves, but so that we could live from the life of God Himself, as things were in the garden before Adam and Eve turned away from the source of life and death came into the world because they depended on the world rather than God. God wanted to restore that life to us, that ability to be fully human by being in communion with Him and having His life within us, and not just the life of the world that gradually tapers off and dies. We pray for the descent of the third person of the Holy Trinity. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son was known to the apostles, the disciples. Already they had experienced Him for the past 3 years during His ministry. They had seen Him destroy the power of death by way of the cross and arise from the dead and come to them, showing them that death had been destroyed, that its power over us had been overcome. But there was one thing that they still lacked. They did not have the divine life of God Himself in themselves so that they could act with that power of God, rather than depending on themselves to try to be as decent and good a people as they could. We don't claim, Orthodox don't claim, and all but certain groups of Christians in the West agree that it is possible for a person to be decent. It is possible for a person to control his emotions and his passions. But depending upon ourselves, we don't depend on God. We are living from our own life, and there's only a certain amount of life that we have in us. And gradually it grows less and less. Our powers, our abilities grow less and less. If we're challenged by a great catastrophe, we may not have sufficient character to deal with it, depending on ourselves. We were not created to depend upon ourselves. It is possible for a person to be of good character. St. Paul says that The Gentiles discovered the law, the moral law of being human, for themselves. The Greeks knew it. They taught it. They taught it to their children. The ancient Chinese had discovered what it means to be a human being, to live like a human being rather than an animal. And they taught it to their children. God revealed it to the people of Israel. They were not a great people. When he revealed himself to them as God, at the same time he also revealed to them the moral law of what it means to be human. And the thing that was unique between God and them was that he revealed to them that there is a connection between the moral law of being human, being a decent human being, and love of God. Because the first things that he told them was to love God, not to worship false idols. And then he gave them the teaching of the moral law of what it means to be human that other peoples had discovered by way of the building up of civilization. So the moral law of being human wasn't unique to the Jews. God's revelation of himself and the connection between that moral law and him, that is what was unique. On Pentecost, we include ourselves among those who first awaited the breath of God that filled the room, that great wind. It was the breath of God. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he breathed life into them. And now he is breathing a life into the ones who have been gathered together to be sons and daughters that he adopts through his Son, Jesus Christ. The one who is truly his only begotten Son became what scriptures call a Son of Man. The one who fulfills all that it means to be human, a Son of Man and a Son of God. The breath of his life is now breathed in to those who are gathered, those who have behind them the knowledge that Jesus Christ has trampled down the power of death, and now they are given the power to live a life beyond the power of death, to keep us from living a truly human life and a life in communion with God. Unless we are so prideful that we still want to depend on ourselves rather than God, the Holy Spirit, the one we call the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Helper, that's what Paraclete means. Father, Son, and Helper. Father, Son, and Counselor. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, can enter into us if we receive him rather than rejecting him. If there's no room in us, he passes by. If we depend on ourselves and we love ourselves rather than God, then how can the Holy Spirit enter into us, be our counselor, be our helper? We might be tempted to think from understanding this that what the Holy Spirit is really then is our conscience. Is the Holy Spirit our conscience? No, the conscience is something else. Those outside of Israel, the Greeks and the Chinese and the other peoples who had discovered the law of our humanity, it was possible for them to build up a conscience. That was what they did in their teaching. The Greeks called it the paideia. The paideia is the education that is necessary in order to make the raw material of a physical human being into a real human being, not fully as Christians understand it, not in the sense of a real human being being in communion with and like God. That they didn't have. But the idea that there is some difference between just any animal and a human being, that they did have. And they would build up in a person a conscience based on their character. Character has to be developed. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Is a gift. The West lost the understanding of the necessity for us as human beings to participate in our own salvation by contributing the part that we can do. Some Christians believe that all we need to do is open ourselves up to the non-material spiritual realm, and God will enter us and guide us, and even without any character, even without any commitment to living a good and decent life, God will guide us because we are so fallen that we can't be decent human beings. But it's a lie. The fact is that unless we are decent human beings to begin with and love what is good and true, we're not prepared to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be able to do what is good and moral and just and right, not based on our own character, however strong or weak it may be, but instead to act out of humility with God's power, a power that comes from on high. The Christian turns his or her back on self-dependence and our little bit of moral and spiritual strength, and loving God asks the Holy Spirit to descend on him and to guide him actively. Not to know the difference between right and wrong. We have to know the difference between right and wrong. Lots of times we do know the difference between right and wrong, and we don't have the spiritual strength to act on it. Many of the apostles were timid. They knew the difference between right and wrong, but they did not have the spiritual power to be able to act on it. When they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power to act on what is good and moral and true, the power to act with the divine power of Christ himself to heal, was theirs, but it didn't come from them. It was the grace of God. It was the Holy Spirit within them. We expect from civilized peoples that they will act according to the moral law of our humanity. We expect that from civilized peoples. In our society today, in our world today, that is breaking down. Civil society is breaking down. People have lost confidence in the necessity to be obedient to the moral law of what it means to be human. People have turned to power and the exercise of power without any sense of what is moral and decent and right. Even Christians, so-called, have turned to a confidence in power rather than in what is decent and holy and good and moral and true. They have lost confidence in the ability of God to rule the world through us human beings. Instead, they want to use the power of the world in order to force others to be as they think people should be. It is a loss of faith throughout the world. In a moral society, we learn character, we learn the moral law of what it means to be human from our parents. And people in society who are like parents, especially those who are like fathers, who are examples of how to live as a good and decent and just human being in the world, because we have the power to choose and act on our own. We need those examples. We need the father especially, and also the mother, to teach those things to us. In a moral society, we have examples of good and moral men and women who serve as examples to follow so that we can build our character. Now, it may not be that a person is ready to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It may not be that we are good and decent in our hearts. We may be so confused that we depend on our passions and our desires and identify with them. And we let them push us around and encourage us to make one decision after another. In that condition, we are not yet prepared to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our society, our people, our leaders are so deeply immoral that the moral law of being human means little to them, means little to our leaders. The examples to us of what it means to be a person who is devoted to following the moral law of being human, it's absent in a large part from our society. It's even absent among those who claim to be Christians. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not given to a lawless people, a people who have no love for God. The apostles and the Theotokos before them, because it was through her that the Son of God entered into the world, and we know that she spent her life loving God in the temple, that she was an example of a good and righteous and decent person to begin with. So the apostles and the Theotokos were spiritually and morally prepared. They loved God as a family member. He was son to Mary, the Theotokos. He was brother. Some people get confused about that, but he was born into a family where there were already brothers and sisters by way of Joseph, who was married previously and had children by way of his previous wife. And so Jesus was born into a family, not just born into our humanity, but born into a family. He had brothers and sisters. It seems so appropriate when he came into the world in order to adopt us as his brothers and sisters and teach us to pray to God as our Father, not just his Father, which he could do because he was the only begotten Son of God eternally. And he came and he taught us to pray to God as our Father. So they knew not just the moral law of what it means to be human by way of the law of Moses, they also knew the incarnate Son of God intimately, so that they loved him personally, person to person. They suffered through his agonies on the cross. They despaired when he was no longer there. And they rose up in joy to find that he had conquered the power of death. They were prepared, and they awaited the descent of the Holy Spirit in the upper room on Pentecost. And so God gave them the gift of himself, his Holy Spirit. He brightened their minds with his light, which we see by the flames that sit upon their heads. And he filled them with the mighty wind of his life, the third person of the Holy Trinity, God. Each of us, one at a time, is given this gift at the beginning of our life as an Orthodox Christian. We are given this gift, which we call chrismation, which simply means gift. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. After we are baptized, we are chrismated. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we are converts and we've been baptized elsewhere, we are simply brought into the community and the communion of the Orthodox Church by chrismation, by being given the gift of the Holy Spirit, because after all, we have had what it took, the spiritual challenges, the moral challenges, to find our way to the church. We have a love of God, a sense of character based on the understanding of the moral law of what it means to be human, and we have been baptized. And so all we need is to receive the power to be able to live and act, not out of pride based on our own self-reliance, but to act out of Christ's humility, out of a divine power, the power of God's humility. The humility of Jesus Christ enables us to act in a way that the saints act, in a way impossible simply based on our own reservoirs of goodness and decency. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit so that as we learn the moral law of our humanity by our own experience in the society that we live in, that law takes root in us. The gift of the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles and the Theotokos and the disciples at the end of the incarnation, the ministry of Christ, his crucifixion on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, and the last thing is the gift of the Holy Spirit. With us, it is the first thing that happens to us. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we have to grow ourselves into a spiritual condition where we are able to open that gift and act as good and decent human beings from God's goodness. At first, we probably will try to act as good as we can based on our own self-reliance. We may even come to the sacrament of confession and confess, I have sinned, I have not acted as I ought to act, and we're still depending on ourselves, you see. It's not a horrible thing, it's not a sacrilegious thing that we depend on ourselves, it's just the fact that we are still building up our character. We are still building up reliance on ourselves as good persons. Unless we believe that it's not possible to be good persons. There's the bad part. Some people who think they're Christians believe it is not possible to act as a good and decent person. If they come and confess their sins, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that they're going to try harder and rely on themselves. It doesn't even mean that. It just means that being sinners, we sin, and so we confess our sins and God forgives us, and he hands us salvation without any participation. Now, that is not true Christianity. But at least if a person is trying to do the best they can, even though they're relying on themselves, at least they are preparing themselves morally and spiritually to one day realize in some shock that we cannot ultimately depend on ourselves. We do not have the resources within ourselves as human beings to overcome death, and every temptation is a little death. There will be a temptation that will overcome us, and one day a temptation so dark that it threatens to destroy our lives. And then we should realize that we don't have the capacity to repair ourselves without the power of God. And so we prepare ourselves for confession, and we repent of having depended on ourselves. We prepare ourselves for the descent of the Holy Spirit upon us, because after we have abandoned the path of Christ, every confession is a descent of the Holy Spirit. And then once we are finally engaged in this active spiritual life, during our efforts in the world to live not from ourselves and our vanity and our pride, but instead to learn not to trust ourselves, but humbly trust Christ. Then the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, truly becomes our helper and our comforter. Because to live as a Christian in this world, we require comfort. We require help. We can't depend on ourselves. And yet all of these things have been overcome. And it is possible for us to live a good and even holy life in this world, once we learn that it is not on ourselves we have to depend, but ultimately, in order to be fully human, we have to be at one with Christ God. That only comes by the death of our dependence on ourselves and arising into a new life whose power comes from God's love. Our love of God, our love of others as God loves us, then we are able to live truly as Christians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.